Rolling in Megillah Sester, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. Geitzet bar Malka al kol anashim havzis ba'aleim be'inehem. Ba'amr ma'melech achshverish omer la'abiyas vashti ha'malka lefanav leiva. Right, if you don't do anything about this, then all the women are going to take a stance. They're going to say, oh, we can belittle our husbands. We can insult them. And we're gonna start a whole women's rights over here. Who knows what's gonna happen? Maybe one day they might even want to vote. Might want to be able to have equal rights as men, right? So we gotta stop it. We gotta nip it at the bud, right now. Right, it's gonna be an embarrassment to the whole kingdom. If you think this is a good idea, Yesit Var Machus Melafanav, you should write a decree. Because of Bedosi Paros Umad of Eloyavar, Asher Litovi Vashtulit Nemelech HaChashver, Shal Chuseit Nemelech Lerousa Atoiva Mimera. You have to take a stance right now. You got to punish Vashti, make it clear and obvious to everyone that men are the ones wearing the pants in the house. Nobody else is in charge. Menishma Piska Mamelech HaShir Yasem B'chol Mechusik Ki Rabahi. They will respect their husbands from now on. The God of Adkotam, either old or young. Now, this advice was driven only by Haman's personal interests. It was clear and obvious as day. But not only was is the advice accepted, but it was received very well. Not only by the king, but by all the ministers. And Achashverosh went ahead. He goes ahead, he writes the decree, sends it out to all the countries, every country in their language. Now the Gemara points out something very interesting, that it was really, Haman kind of shot himself in the leg when he sent out this decree that all the men should be in charge of their house. How so? Because if you think about it, it was only thanks to this decree that no anti-Semites ended up killing the Jews after his decree to kill the Jews. Why? Because when if we fast forward for a minute, right? Haman convinced Achashverosh to send out a decree to kill out all the Jews. When was that sent out? What point in the year? Pesach, 3 days before Pesach, right? Now think about it. He sent out to at least half the world, 127 countries. I'm sure there are many anti-Semites, definitely at that time. There was no being politically correct, right? No hate crimes, there was no such thing, right? So you have these anti-Semites throughout the world thinking, wait a minute. Clearly the king doesn't care about the Jews, right? In 11 months' time, he wants us to kill them all. Why don't we get a head start? Kill a few Jews, right? Every Tuesday we'll go out, get drunk, kill a few Jews just for fun. Why not? What was stopping them? You know what was stopping them? This decree. Why? Because when Achashverosh sent out the decree saying that all the men have to be in charge, what were they thinking? They were thinking, this king is crazy. The guy is nuts. Because, obviously, all men are in charge in their house. Why does he need a special decree? Oh, men have to be in charge in their house. It's ludicrous. It's idiocy. Right? So clearly, he's got a loose screw somewhere in his head. He's not with the program. So therefore, we can't take his decrees at face value. So later on, when they sent the decree that all Jews must be killed in 11 months' time, they said, "Wait a minute! You never know with this king. The guy's unpredictable, right? Exactly. He's unpredictable, right? You never know what he's going to say or what he's going to think. Maybe tomorrow he's going to send an opposite decree, right? That's why they refrained from hurting the Jews at all because they didn't really know how to treat the decree. So this first decree." Was actually ended up saving the Jews in the long run later on. Okay. Let's continue to Perek Beis. Achar dvarim eile. After this episode, kishoicha chamas hamalech hachashverosh, zochar tzvashti ves asher ososo, ves asher nigzar olel. So, the next morning, Hachashverosh wakes up from his drunken stupor, and he remembers Vashti, says Rashi, zochar es yofya. He remembered her beauty, meaning the depth of their relationship was zero. They had no relationship. He was marrying her only for her beauty, at least according to Rashi. So the butlers, the his personal servants, turn to him and he says, and they say, what happened to all of his advisors? Right, he's got seven advisors. What happened to them? There's no mention of them whatsoever.
He killed them.
No, he didn't kill them. But they disappeared. Because they realize, right? And the next morning he's going to be very upset that we killed Vashti, or we advised him to kill Vashti, and he's going to take out his wrath on us. So they disappeared, and the only people that were around him were the simple butlers, right? Even Haman wasn't there. So they say, my dear king, well, what's bothering you? You miss your beautiful wife. You want beauty? We'll give you beauty, no problem. Very simple solution, right? Why don't you throw a beauty pageant? And then you'll find the most beautiful woman. The Gemara points out the difference between between Ahasuerus and David HaMelech. When David HaMelech, at the end of his life, we learned that he was cold, he didn't have any clothes, wouldn't warm him up, right? So they asked for a beautiful virgin to come and warm him up. So when he did that, all the fathers brought forth their daughters, hoping that maybe their daughter would be the one to be with the king. When Ahasuerus did the same, all the fathers acted in the exact opposite way. They all hid their daughters. Why? Because if they hid their daughters, why did they hide their daughters? Because the way it worked was, they would go to the harem. Ahasuerus would be intimate with each one, spend the night with her. If he liked her, she was queen. If he didn't,
you get rid of her.
You don't get rid of her. You put a sticker on the other harem, and she would stay there till the end of her life. Because it was not fit for someone who was intimate with a king to go marry just, you know, any simpleton. So they were not allowed to marry anybody. They had to stay in the other harem for the rest of their lives. So that's why all the fathers hid their daughters. They didn't want to take the chance, right? With 1 in 1 million, they become queen. But if not, you're stuck. So all the fathers hid their daughters. What did Ahasuerus do? He sent out ministers, messengers in all these countries. Right, he gathered all the virgins that he was able to find, and he put them in the harem by Hege, and he gave them all the perfumes or the makeup they ever asked for. The woman who found favor in his eyes, she will be the queen instead of Vashti. Right? So that was the advice, and it found favor in the eyes of the king, right. And that's exactly what he did.
But didn't the reason that he married Vashti was political?
Right.
Not because he loved her, he was just,
right, he didn't
at
love
the
her.
Beginning.
A princess, right.
But she was
political. He came from nothing. I mean, he was just a plain guy until whatever he was put up there because of everything else. So I mean, now he's saying he remembers Vashti, and he says she's beautiful. But that's not the reason he married her. I mean. He was in love with her.
See, right.
Probably he didn't like her in the first place because she probably told him off many times. Who the heck are you? You're nothing.
Well, that's what she did at the Mishteh. Yeah. That's the first recording of it that we know that it happened. You know, I'm saying, after all, that was their wedding. You know, so they didn't really spend that much time together. They didn't even go out, they didn't even make it to their honeymoon.
And she liked it that way.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. They didn't even make it to their honeymoon, right? He killed her at the wedding itself, right? Some husband.
But this is at that time. This is he was king. It's look, king has only one wife. Usually, that time can be many.
Right?
Wives.
Yeah. There are kings that have many wives,
but in this case, he is very modest.
Yes.
He has one wife to replace another wife.
Yeah, harem.
No. If harem, it means why need to another one.
He has concubines. He had many concubines, but only one wife.
He said one.
No, he had many concubines, but only one wife.
So that means harem, but only one was wife.
Harem, it's all people, all women in harem, it's called wives.
Concubines.
No, but
Pilaxim in Hebrew. I don't know what they're called in Russian.
No, but this is my favorite wife.
The one that he lived with, that he was.
No, but he lives.
That was the queen. Obviously, he could be intimate with anyone he wanted. Right? He could do whatever he wanted. He was the king.
But he can't, she is not a queen. You believe Vashti was queen?
Vashti was the queen, yes. Well, for a short period, at least. Okay, let's see further. Ish Yehudi, Pasuk Hey, Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Abir, Shmuel Mordechai Ben Ner Ben Kish, and Shimi Ben Kish, Ish Yemini. The Gemara has many drushes for his name, which we're not going to get into right now. Asher Hoglim Yerushalayim, Amagol Asher Hoglusim Yechonim Melech Yehuda, Asher Heglan Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel. He came with the Golos, the exile, that Nebuchadnezzar brought from Jerusalem. He was the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he brought all these Jews into exile. He took Esther, who was his cousin. The Gemara says that her father died when her mother got pregnant, and her mother died at childbirth. So she never had a mother or father ever in her life.
They died before, while she was very young.
Yeah. Well, her father died immediately, right after her mother conceived, and her mother died at childbirth. So the day she was born...
Oh, she died in childbirth.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the day she was born, she had no mother, no father.
Uh-huh.
Right away. So Mordechai adopted her. She was very beautiful. And when he died, Mordechai took her as a daughter. Now the Gemara has a machlokas. One Mandomar says Labas, she was really his daughter. He adopted her as his stepdaughter. The other Mandomar holds Labais. The drasha is labais, for a house, meaning he actually
married her.
She was his wife. Just
how old was she?
I don't know.
Said 70 years.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I mean at this
point.
I don't know.
70 years old.
She was 70 years old already.
Yeah, that's what
I don't know. That's a good question.
That's the first that I saw.
Okay. Baby Shamat Baramelach Vados and Vikovat Noris Rabbis al Shushan Abir al Yad Hegai with Tilakach Esther al Besamelach al Yad Hegai Shemer Hanoshim. And when the decree was sent out, all the women must come forth so Achashverosh can choose a new queen. Esther was selected as well. She was sent to the harem by Hegai. Vadita Manar Beino Vatisa Chesel Lefonov. She found favor in the eyes of Hegai, who was in charge of the harem. Vayival is Tamarkev is Manusel Osasla. Right? Hege really appreciated Esther. He gave her anything she wanted, makeup, perfume, whatever it was. He gave her 7 maids. Now, these 7 maids were used by Esther to tell the day of the week. It was important, there weren't any calendars, there weren't Maizmani, they didn't have any apps on your smartphone. So she was not able to know the days of the week. So she used these 7 maids to tell the day of the week. Every day she had a different maid. And then she knew that this maid was special for Shabbos. That's how she knew that today was Shabbos.
Well, the reason I ask you how old was she, I mean, if the people say that Mordechai married her, well, it's been 7 years, she didn't have any children. I mean, if she was 70 years old, he married her when, I guess, when she became of age or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
She couldn't be passed off as a virgin.
Right.
He wasn't looking for married women. He took anybody.
No, it says that he was looking for virgins, but
to him,
Achashverosh seemed that Esther was a virgin. That's what it says. He was able to... That was his experience. In any case, lo higa de Esther es ama ves molalato, ki Mordechai tziva leo shalai tagit. Mordechai told you, do not reveal where you come from. Don't tell Achashverosh anything. Why? Mordechai was hoping that since Achashverosh did not know which nation she came from, since lineage was extremely important back in the day, especially for kings, he was hoping, okay, if I don't know where she's from, then I'm not going to marry her. But that did not exactly work. V'chol yom v'yom Mordechai misalach lifnei chatzar b'Yisrael nashim alach shlim Esther maya also. But every day Mordechai was checking to make sure what was happening with Esther. V'bagia tornar v'nar lovei l'melech ha'chashverish mikaytzei yislok adas anashim shnei masar chodesh. Ki ken yimlu yimei merukim shish chodoshim shem anmar v'shish chodoshim anmasalim v'samu ken nashim. Right? They would use, they would have each woman bathe 12 months in Shemen Amor, a certain scented oil, and another 6 months in different oil. In total, they would spend a year in this harem before she would go to the king. The reason for that was, since the king was going to be intimate with each woman, obviously there was a risk of disease, and they were hoping that if this woman would spend a year in the harem, the disease would surface. And that was taken as a precaution to make sure that this woman were not sick, didn't have HIV or anything like that.
He didn't want to get AIDS.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know.
And if she was married already, then how could she agree to even be interviewed by Ahasuerus?
She didn't agree. It was done against her will. She was taken by force.
She was taken.
Yeah. Ahasuerus sent pekidim, he sent ministers, he sent messengers to all the countries to forcefully, it says, all the fathers hid their daughters. They hid them in the basement, and they threw away the key. But these ministers broke into the house, grabbed the daughters, and took them to the palace.
Well, how about what Ahasuerus is doing? Is his action a violation of the Noahide rule against adultery?
If these women were married, yes. Definitely, if they were Jewish, then yeah, for sure.
Wasn't his society following the Noahide code?
Yeah, but again, he was the king. Yeah. No, I don't think he was following it. No.
Official merit on Mordechai?
So that's a good question. It's not clear if it was known that they were married.
How many women were taken there?
I don't know.
A couple of thousand.
He had 127 countries.
Give me a couple of thousand. It's more than a couple of thousand in his whole. If they went any place,
they have to be of age.
Everybody they wanted to, they could have had a million.
Right, they have to be of age. They have to be beautiful. So yeah, whatever.
He took 120,000 from each state.
That's what it says. 120,000 from each state.
127 times 127.
That's a lot.
Where'd he put
a lot of women.
No wonder he died a young man.
Where'd he have room for all of them?
All right, whatever.
Again,
keep going.
Think about it. Money was not an issue. Money wasn't an issue. He had, you know, plenty of space, plenty of money. He could have a huge harem filled with, you know, thousands and thousands of women. Okay, so let's see. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'zeh na'ara ba'al ha'melech. The woman would come to the king. Anything she requested, she wanted to sing, she was given to musical accompaniment, she wanted to play, whatever it was, anything she wanted to find favor in the eyes of the king was given to her. She would spend the night with the king, then the next morning she would go back she would go into the second harem by Shashgaz after she spent the night with the king, and she would not go back to the king unless the king called her by name. Right? When it came turn for Esther, she did not request anything. Right? Now, the only thing that was given to her by Haggai. He decided what was going to be good for her, which makeup, which hairdo, whatever it was. He decided. He made the calls.
Wasn't that edict that they can't come when they want? It's only when that was made by Haman.
Right. Yeah. He was in control.
He was the one. He did that.
Right. Right. We're gonna see. So now. It's interesting to know that Esther really should have been killed many times over. First of all, she refused to come. Everyone refused to come. But she refused to come. She was not willing to reveal what people she comes from, what nation she comes from. She didn't even ask for anything to find favor in the king's eyes. Right? So clearly she did not want to be with the king. She should have been killed many times over. But Hashem, this is again, Hashem orchestrating the events behind the scenes to make sure that she will end up being queen. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Vatilakach Esther lemelech Achashverosh. Esther was taken to Achashverosh, l'beis malchusai. B'chodesh ha'asiri, chodesh teves, b'shishtas shevel malchusai. She was taken to Achashverosh during Teves, which is about January, February. Now, the reason why this is important is because, again, this was orchestrated, again, by Hashem, because the Gemara says that during the months of the winter, when it's really cold outside, haguf nana min haguf, the body enjoys the warmth of the other person's body heat, and that act of intimacy is much more enjoyable, and that's why it was done like this, because hopefully Achashverosh would really love Esther. That was the whole goal. Now, this happened in the seventh year of his reign. Remember, he married Vashti in the third year. You only found Esther 4 years later. It took him that long to actually meet her. He loved Esther. She found favor in his eyes more than all the other virgins. He decided, this is my next queen. Now, it's interesting to note that the way the pasuk brings it down is that he loved her, and she found favor in his eyes. Usually it's the opposite. When a guy dates a woman, right, he kind of likes her, she finds favor in his eyes, he keeps on dating her, he talks to her, he meets her again, and then at the end, hopefully, they fall in love. This is the opposite. First they fell in love, and then she found favor in his eyes. So the commentators explain that the love Achashverosh felt was a supernatural love. It was beyond any other regular normal love that a man could feel towards a woman. And that's why Achashverosh decided right away on the spot that Esther should be the next queen. However, he had a problem. Lineage was extremely important to him, and Esther was not willing to reveal where she came from. So look in the next pasuk. What does he do? He's got a plan. He made a great party for all of his ministers. It's Mishta Esther, the Esther party. He gave a tax break to all of the countries, hoping maybe if people realize, oh wow, he really wants to know where Esther is from, and hopefully the nation that Esther comes from will come forth and say, oh, she's from us. And because they're going to see what benefits they get. Right? Not only that, but he sent gifts to all the countries because he didn't know where she was from. Hopefully, he would get Esther to reveal where she was from. And then he would give her nation even more stuff. But that did not work. She still refused to reveal where she was from. What did he do? He consults Mordechai. Mordechai was the advisor to the king. And Mordechai gives him the following advice. Pasuk Yutes. Very interesting pasuk. He throws another beauty pageant. Why is he doing that? He just found a queen. And Mordechai is sitting in the palace. What does one have to do with the other? So the commentators explain. He consulted Mordechai, asked him what to do. How do I get Esther to tell? How do I get her to tell? I want to know what nation she comes from. Mordechai says, I've got the perfect way. I've got the perfect plan for you. If you want to get Esther to reveal where she comes from, we have to do is make her jealous. Throw another beauty pageant, show her you're not so into her. She's going to be jealous. Then she's going to tell you everything. Now Mordechai was hoping that what? Mordechai was hoping that he would find somebody else. He did not want Achashverosh to marry Esther. Right? That didn't work. But that was the plan. Now, it's just interesting to know, because clearly Mordechai saw the Ashgach, he saw Hashem behind the scenes orchestrating the events in a way that Esther would become queen. And here he is, sabotaging, so to speak, Hashem's plan. Why is he doing that? He knows what Hashem wants, why is he sabotaging Hashem's plan? So the commentators explain that there's two systems, right? There's Hashem's plan, okay. But what we have to do, practically speaking, when it comes down to what we got to do on the field, is we have to go according to Halacha. Whatever Halacha dictates, that's what we do, practically. Therefore, since the Halacha is we don't want Jewish women to be married to Achashverosh, to a Goyish king, that's why we do everything in our power to avoid that. What Hashem's plan is going to happen, if it's going to happen regardless, right? But we have to do everything according to Halacha. That's why Mordechai did what he did. And again, still, that didn't work. Pasuk Chaf. She did not reveal where she comes from. She follows exactly whatever Mordechai says. These two guards, Vixen and Viserys, happened to be the night guards at the king. They were not only the night guards, but they were the personal butlers to the king. Now, they used to have a very easy, quiet shift, right? They would play poker, drink a few bottles of beer, fall asleep, right? But once he married Esther, their life became very busy. He would have Esther come to him every single night, and throughout the night, he would wake up, he would want, water, you want food, bring me room service, bring me this, bring me that. And their night shift, who used to be very easy and simple and quiet, turned into a very harassed night shift. And they had a problem, right? What do we do about this? Simple solution. I mean, anytime you got a problem, kill someone, right? So they went out and they decided to assassin the king. Now, what they were doing is they planned to assassinate the king in a language that nobody knew. A language called Patrus that was extremely rare. No one in Shusha knew that language. And they were openly talking about it in their secret language that they thought nobody knew. They didn't know. What they did not know was that Mordechai, who sits on the Sanhedrin, the high Jewish court, knows every single language in the world. Why is that? Every single judge, everything a Jewish judge, needs to know all the languages. Reason being, when a testimony is given, the judge has to hear it from the witness himself directly, not through any translator. We're afraid that the message, the words, might be lost in translation. There are many subtleties to a testimony. That's why a judge has to know every single language to hear the testimony directly from the witness. So Mordechai, knowing every single language, heard them planning to assassinate the king. He goes ahead, he reveals the plan to Esther, who passes the information to Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus, in fact, checks it out. They were planning to poison his food. They gave it to a dog. They tested it, and they found, in fact, that Mordechai was right. It was found that Mordechai was right. Esther Amalko, but Esther Amalko was Mordechai. Right? She told Ahasuerus in the name of Mordechai. It was found to be true. By Tolush Neamalates, both Bixel and Viserys were hanged. By Kosev Sefer Divrei Hayamim Lifnei HaMelech, it was written in the Sefer of Divrei Hayamim. Every king had a book of memories, of things, favors that he owed, whatever it was. Now, the person who was in charge of this book was none other than Shimshi, the son of Haman, the archenemy of Mordechai. Shimshi clearly did not want Mordechai to be written in this book. So the second it was, obviously he had to write it, because Ahasuerus was dictating what to write, but the second he left the room, what does he do? He erases it. Later on, when, in paragraph 6, when Ahasuerus is having trouble sleeping, right, he's got this nightmare that someone's trying to kill him and take away his queen. So he calls for this book, right? See, why isn't anybody, why aren't my loyal people telling me what's going on, right? Maybe I paid some, maybe I owe someone a favor and I didn't repay it. So he calls over to Shimshi to bring the book, and it says a very interesting line. It says, "Vaymase kasuv." It was found written. What does that mean? It was found written because Shimshi erased it the second after he wrote it. He didn't want Mordechai to be mentioned there. The Malach, the angel Gavriel, came down and rewrote it. And when Shimshi opens it up, he thought, oh my gosh, it's what I erased is now written. So he immediately turns to a different page, and a wind comes, turns it back to that page. Right? Either it's the speed. Either a wind comes and turns it back to the page, or there is a nais that every single page had the same thing written. It was all written about Mordechai. So he tries to go back and forth and back forth. He's trying to find a different page to read. Until Ahasuerus is impatient, he says, "Oh, just read already. Read wherever you're from, wherever you are." So he's forced to read to Ahasuerus everything that Mordechai did, and that's how Mordechai was given that honor. Okay, we have to stop here for Maariv. I don't know if we'll continue next week. You want to continue next week? That's after Purim? We'll see.
I'm going to go for a horseback ride.